Pray with me, please. Come, Lord Jesus, to quicken us, that we might long for your arrival, for it is in your precious name that we ask. Amen. How do you all respond when somebody says, "Have you heard the good news? Someone is coming. Let's get ready." When we hear words of introduction like this from some trusted source, it should cause our hearts to quicken, shouldn't it? It should cause us to look around and see, what do we need to do to be ready for this person, this event that is about to take place? And as I prepared for this message this morning, I was thinking about times growing up when I was told to get ready for some exciting event. One such event in my growing up years involved horses and deer hunting. And there were times when it got cool in the fall that my physician father would say, "Johnny boy, I'm not working this Saturday. Would you like to ride the horses and drive the dogs with me on Saturday? Can you be ready? Can you get your homework done?" Can I be ready? Heck yeah, I can be ready. I'd have my homework done, all my clothes laid out, and the car loaded when Dad came downstairs at dark 30 on Saturday morning. I was so excited about this impending experience and to be able to have that time with my dad that I often could not sleep the night before. I was prepared and my heart was expectant. I learned that to anticipate the day and to invest myself in the preparation for it was the only way to live into its fullness. If I was late, if I wasn't ready, there'd be aggravation, things wouldn't go as well. And although I did not recognize it at the time, I came to see that God was involved and he was in that process of me learning to prepare. He was shaping me to see that I might live into a deeper relationship with him if I would pause to consider his presence in my times of preparation. And what I have discovered is that as I turn toward him and open myself to that possibility, I see that he is there and that he has been there at every turn. And I also sense his great pleasure in my awareness of that. This is the first day, friends, of the 25-day season of Advent. The word Advent, as is in our bulletin this morning, the word Advent comes from two Latin words, the prefix ad, A-D, which means to or toward, and the verb ventus, which means to come. And so the literal meaning of Advent signifies a coming toward or an arrival. And the season of Advent is specifically designed as a time of introspective spiritual preparation in order to rightly celebrate the first coming of Christ. And it is also a time to open ourselves to the continuing coming of Christ and his arrival in us personally and increasingly, so that we would then be prepared for his ultimate return. Something big has happened. An amazing thing is now happening, folks, and we do not want to miss it. Advent is my favorite season of the year. And this, it is my favorite season because the scriptures focus so much on the messianic prophecies, which promise a day to come, a day of deliverance, and the righting of all that is wrong. Biblical scholarship estimates some 200 to 400 such messianic prophecies in the Old Testament, pointing to the coming of the Messiah. And in the book of Isaiah alone, there are around 100 of these. And if you look in the New Testament, about one in every 25 verses points to the second coming of Christ. So God's grand narrative shines a big light on this subject. God wants us to know who he is and that his plans for our restoration to him are unchanging, and they have been since the beginning. So through the biblical record, the creator of all informs us over and over again about how it will be that he will reverse the curse that caused our separation from him. The earliest such prophetic word comes in Genesis 3. Here in the midst of Adam and Eve's shame and rebellion, God makes a promise of one who will come. God says to the serpent, "Because you have done this, I will put enmity between your offspring and the woman's offspring. He shall crush your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Right off the rip, God's promise is to reverse the curse that has interrupted the intimacy with mankind that has always been God's will and his eternal plan. Notice here in God's word the closeness between the conflict and the cure. The details of the fall are completed by verse 13 of Genesis 3. And in the very next verse, we are told how it is that God will make things right and what it will look like. A son of man will come whose heel will be bruised in this battle against evil, but then the evil one will be destroyed. We see this same pattern in the book of Isaiah. In chapter 1, our reading today was from chapter 2, but if you look at chapter 1 of Isaiah, you see a description of a rebellious Israel who will soon be taken off into exile by Assyria. God is going to use Assyria as an instrument of his wrath, and in spite of God's goodness and provision, his people are worshiping idols. This is the conflict. And then in chapter 2, God promises a day to come, as we just read, when the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established and all the nations will flow to it, that he may teach us his ways and that we might walk in his paths. There will be peace on this day as swords are made into plowshares and spears are made into pruning hooks. The conflict of man's sinful nature is made evident, and this is followed closely by the promise of a day to come when all will be made right. You know, our God is not moody. He doesn't brood. He doesn't hold over us his anger. He is quick to give us a way to go forward. And in similar prophetic references, we see the promise of one to come who will be born of a virgin. His name will be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. One is coming by whose wounds we will be healed, one who will be sacrificed for our transgressions. These biblical references are about you and me. By nature, we have a rebellious spirit, and we would be lost if not for the fulfilled promises of God. I need to be reminded of that. Advent does that, and I can live into that prophetic word, and I can see that Jesus in his first coming has fulfilled some of these promises. This shows what? It shows that God is faithful. God is going to do, he has done, and he will do what he promises to do. We believe that Jesus, who died and rose again, will return to complete all that he has promised. This is what in Christianity we understand as the now but not yet of our journey. It is the most amazing reality in all of creation. It is the most life-changing truth that has ever been and that ever will be. And it should do more than simply quicken our spirits. So the preparatory and the purposeful question of Advent is this: Lord Jesus, I want your arrival in me to be more real and more personal. How, Lord, do you want to dwell in me more completely? Lord, how do you want to shape me so that I might be less and you might be more? What will it look like, Lord, for me to prepare for your return? This is a great Advent conversation, a prayerful conversation to have with God. And so often I hear people say, oh, I pray, but I don't hear anything. If you ask these questions and then you're still and you just listen and you ask God to clear your mind of all extraneous matter, then what comes to your mind after you ask these questions, Lord, what do I need to turn loose of? In other words, Lord, I know I still have some swords that I hold on to. To have my swords hadn't necessarily been made into plowshares. Show me where those swords are. Show me where it is that I need to turn loose of. And here we invite Jesus into the process of our preparation. So how will this look, and what will it look like? The prophet Joel said that a day is coming when God will pour his spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. In other words, God says, there will be an advent of my spirit on all people. And the result will be insights for them that are divinely inspired. When the Holy Spirit comes, you will understand the things of God and his purposes that you could never get on your own. And then Jesus said to his disciples that he must go to the Father so that the Counselor could come. The Holy Spirit is that Counselor, and he comes to bring understanding. Then it happened. God said this is going to happen. Then it happened. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came, and look at the difference it made. Not only did he bring understanding, but he brought boldness where there had been fear. The disciples who had been hiding went public to proclaim the gospel. The fruit of the Spirit blossomed. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and self-control became more evident in the lives of believers. Spiritual gifts of healing, preaching, prophecy, and deliverance from evil spirits were made evident. I know that many of us in this room have had similar experiences when the Holy Spirit made his first beachhead in us. When the Counselor comes, we begin to want more of what Jesus wants for us because we know him, because we trust him, because we know his life-giving love for us. And I know this sounds like a Pentecost sermon, but my point is this. In this time of Advent, Jesus would prepare us to meet him again so that he might awaken in us the desire to let him have his way in us more and more. In Revelation 3, Jesus says that the church of Laodicea is lukewarm, neither hot nor cold. The door to all that Jesus would be for them is closed. So he stands and he knocks, wanting to enter in. In this season of Advent, it's a time for us to do door inspection. It's a time for Jesus to be invited into that process to help us see how open we are to what he wants to be for us. And his promise is to make an ever-deepening Advent into the temple that we're called to be so that he might fulfill the gift that he promises to be. This is the call and the challenge of Advent. Something has happened. Someone has come and will come again. It is an event of immeasurable significance is not far off. So come, thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears and sins, release us. Let us find our rest in thee. By thine own eternal spirit, rule in all our hearts alone. By thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne. Amen.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend. Who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost the way. Oh, we hopelessly lost the way. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. And almighty infinite Father, faithfully loving your own, here in our weakness you find us falling before your throne. Oh, we're falling before your throne. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger.